There are many ideas in Parshas Vayetze. So I thought we would do, in the past, we focused often on the towards the end, middle of the Parsha, and that is, of course, the entire negotiation and the working that Yaakov does for Rachel and for Leah, and then Yaakov eventually, you know, having his children, having, you know, through Rachel, through Leah, through the Shivchos, and eventually, you know, the decision to leave Lavan, really the, you know, which leads right into next week's parsha, the confrontation between, you know, Yaakov and Esav. But I wanted to actually do is I wanted to go back to the beginning of the parsha. I wanted to go back to the beginning of the parsha, and I want to focus just on a few major ideas that we find in the beginning of the parsha. So let's begin with the first. We know that Yaakov, Vayetze Yaakov Ershav Vayelech Harana, that Yaakov is on the way, and now this is the place, he, as we know from Rashi, he had not slept for 14 years. 14 years Yaakov had not slept for, and all of a sudden he goes to sleep. So in the past, we have mentioned the idea, why does Yaakov feel the need to go to sleep? Why is he going to sleep? Now he hadn't slept in 14 years. One of the explanations we gave, which is a very important idea, from Aaron Lichtenstein, and that is, it is Yaakov is going to sleep not only because he's tired, but the Torah doesn't need to tell us that Yaakov is tired. Rather, Yaakov is going to sleep because he wants to dream. Yaakov wants to dream. He wants to. He is on a very big mission right now. He's about to embark on an impossible, so to speak, task. He's running away. He just stole the Bechor. How is he going to rebuild and make himself into this great next part of the, you know, of the dynasty of Avram, Yitzhak, and now to Yaakov? So what he does is that he goes to sleep specifically so that he can dream. That says the Lublina Rav or Moshe Shapiro, he goes to sleep so that he can dream, so he can think of his higher goals, that we sometimes tend to be focused on the here and the now and dealing with the little details that we have to do. But it's Yaakov that says, I want to go to sleep. And this is where Rav Aaron Lichtenstein pointed out a phenomenal Gemara. The Gemara tells us, Kol halon shivas yamim belo chalom. If a person sleeps for 7 days without a dream, nikra ra. That's called being evil. What does it mean? You go a week without dreaming, it's called evil. I don't know about you, but I don't dream very often. And even if you dream, I don't remember it. And all of a sudden, the Gemara says, you're evil. You're bad. You're in Russia if you don't have a dream once every 7 days. So as Aaron explained, it of course doesn't mean that you just dreamt. It meant if you went a week and you at some point during that week, you didn't stop and you didn't think, what's the goal? What am I trying to achieve? What are my priorities? How can I rearrange my priorities? How can I squeeze more learning in? How can I reach a little bit higher? That's what it means to go to sleep. That's what it means to dream. So Yaakov Avinu goes to sleep because what's going to happen after Vayetze and then Vayishlach and all the parashos till the end is implementing that vision and that goal and those priorities that Yaakov Avinu has. This pasuk, this parasha teaches us that we sometimes have to make sure, you know, the famous professor with the rocks and the sand and the water and that whole story, it's about prioritizing. It's about thinking a little bit beyond just the here and the now, but having a vision for ourselves. So what I would actually like to do is I want to veer off a little bit from just the story, the details of this, and to use the beginning of the parsha. That's idea number one. I said four major ideas in just the beginning of the parsha. Idea number one is this notion of dreaming and of you know, sleeping, so to speak, so that a person can dream. But let's veer off and we're going to talk about tefillah for a minute, because I think there was something fascinating in the beginning of this week's parsha. And if we read it too quickly, we'll miss it. We know that there's a debate in the Gemara in Brachos as to what is the source of our tefillah. We have three major tefillos in the day, Shacharis, Mincha, Ma'ariv. Where do those come from? So the Gemara tells us in the fourth parak of Masechtas Brachos, there's a machlokes. Rabbi Yossi says it comes from the Avos, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says it comes from the Karbanos. But let's assume for a minute, let's talk about the Avos. So we know that Avram davens Shachris, Yitzhak davens Mincha, in Yaakov, David's Marv. And in fact, Rabbi Sachs has a wonderful piece in which he suggests that if you look at that Gemara, each one of the Avos has another word that means that they David. It never says, V'Avraham hitpalel tfilat shacharit. It does not say that. Every one of the Avos have a different word. Avraham is amad, elam akom asher amad sham. Yitzchok is lasuach basodeh. And Yaakov, we're going to see, is vayifga, and he met Hashem. The notion, and this is for a different time, that in davening, we do a number of different things. Right? We stand in our tefillah and our connection with Hashem and have reverence. Davening is a conversation. It's lasuach. It's to talk. It's to have a dialogue. It's to be part of it. It's to be able to listen to how Hashem talks back. How can I see his responses? How can I see his replies to me? And Yaakov is vayifga, because Yaakov goes to sleep. He's tired. He's not. He doesn't plan on seeing Hashem like Avram and Yitzchak did. And all of a sudden, he is awakened by this realization and this, you know, revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes we daven. It could be a ne'ilah, or it could be a Wednesday morning at 6:45 in the morning. And all of a sudden, we're overcome with emotion and connection. Sometimes vayifga, we meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But let's talk for a minute about something else that we don't focus on so much. What in the world does it mean that the Avos establish the davening? What does that mean? That Avram actually had he davened shachris, like the actual, Yitzchak had a 10-minute mincha, but Yaakov had a 12-minute mariv. What exactly does it mean? So there's another source for the three tfilos a day. And it's as well connected to our parsha. The Gemara Yerushalmi tells us that the day itself can change three different times, three time zones. The sun rises in the morning, gets stronger. While it's not yet at night, the sun begins to set, and then there is darkness. Three different times. Very, very bright, not as bright, and total darkness. So what does it do with tefillah? Simple approach is when nature changes, that's how we see God. But the three tefillos and the avos, and that the last of which is this week's parasha with Yaakov, are ways we relate to Hashem. Right? In God's infinite wisdom, he set aside different times of the calendar year to relate differently to Hashem. Adar is Mishnechnas. Adar, it's Simcha. Elul and Tishrei is more of awe and reverence and of closeness of a Melech HaKadosh. Av is very distant. It's, the Shechina has been, is in hiding. And we have different ways we relate to Hashem. Sometimes Hashem is close. Sometimes Hashem is far. Sometimes he's our father. Sometimes he's our melech. Sometimes he's our judge. And says the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, says the Ramchal, fascinating idea about tefillah. The Ramchal suggests that's not only true for the calendar year, that yes, during the calendar year, as I go through Adar, I relate to Hashem with Simcha. And as I go through Rosh Hashanah, I relate to Hashem as my melech. And as I go through Shavuos, and I go through Tisha B'Av, but it's true every single day. The light and darkness that we have represent our relation with Hashem. When the light is more and it's abundant and it's comfortable, it's embracing. When it's dark, it's much more distant. And this is what it means. This is what it means that the Avos daven. When it's the morning, God is showering us with brachos. Avraham daven shachris, because that's Avraham was. He Hashem beirach as Avraham bakol. He had everything. He had this synergy in this world that we can't begin to understand. And that's why shachris is Avraham. That's why we have psukei de zimra when it comes to shachris, because Avraham praised Hashem. That's the morning when there's so much light, when I feel appreciative that I woke up. Elokai neshama shanasata b'tahori, I wash my hands, I feel rejuvenated. Even if I'm tired, I feel the appreciation of a new day, of the health that I have, my ability to walk, to feel, to touch, to smell. That's all of the davening. That's the morning. The afternoon, the sun is still around, but I'm going to lose it soon. You know, if we were a farmer, which we're not, but imagine if we were a farmer and the sun's setting, I got to get it all in. It's a race against the clock. I have a lot, but I'm no longer being showered like I was in the morning. And that's Yitzchak. And the nighttime, there's no light. There's no light. I can't easily see the abundance of good that I have. And that's Yaakov. That's Yaakov. Yaakov's life is exile. Yaakov's life is golus. Yaakov's life is running from stealing the brachos and then the issues with Yosef and then back to Mitzrayim and then being buried in Mitzrayim. It's all darkness. And that's why we have these three tefillos. That's the structure why they're different. It's why that, and it means what tefillah is supposed to be, that it is supposed to be this way that opens me up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that every one of the avos related differently to Hashem, and during our day, we might relate differently to God. Doesn't mean I always have to feel so happy at Mincha, nervous at happy at Shacharis, and nervous at Mincha, and scared at Maariv. It means that tefillah is a vehicle to open me up. It's a vehicle that I can share what's happening. And that's the goal. That's what we have. Now, Rav Kook says that tefillah is what he says, mit madeid et haneshama. It allows my neshama to speak. It allows my neshama to speak. And that's why that's really the goal of understanding the structure of davening and how this plays into it. That's, and that we meet Yaakov and the last of the tefillos in this week's parsha. Okay. So idea number one is that we have to have the ability to dream. We have to sometimes make sure that we don't get lost in the hustle and bustle of the everyday, that we take a minute. You know, there's an amazing story about, I just mentioned Rameir Shapiro, the great Lublina Rebbe who started the Daf Yomi. So the story goes that he once was in the town that he grew up, and he sees some of the, you know, the kids, now they're adults, that he knew when he grew up. So he says, you know, remember this idea that I had, that I wanted to start everybody one day, a daf, wherever we are. And we remember this already, the daf yom had started. And Rameir Shapiro replied, don't ever doubt the dreams of a child. Right? Children have a tendency to dream, to think big. Right? That's why children, when they're little, the greatest jobs in the world are policemen and firemen. That's what their dreams are. It's why we have children throughout the Tanakh, always, you know, keeping us, the children of the Seder, keeping us going. Giyazman Kriyas Shema Shel Shacharis. So the idea number one is that we have to keep dreaming. Idea number two was the separate idea about tefillah, that Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov relate differently to Hashem. They converse differently with Hashem. They represent different ways we relate to Hashem. And the idea that through tefillah is where we open up in our relationship to Hashem. How personal can I be? How connected can I be? What am I sharing? Now, I asked my students this week, what's the goal of davening? We just actually did this gemara. I said, what's the goal of davening? And many believe the goal is to thank, either to thank Hashem or to ask Hashem for things. But it's not really the goal. The goal really is to connect. For example, why do I have a text of davening? Why can't I just go to davening tomorrow morning and whatever's on my mind, I'll share whatever's on my mind. Because the text is there because we might not have thought about some of these things. It's a way for us to think globally about the issues in our world. Okay, so let's continue to move on. So let's go to idea number major idea number three in this week's parsha. We're staying just in the beginning of the parsha. There's so much there, so much to unpack, so much to uncover. I encourage you, you know, at your Shabbos tables, think more about some of these ideas. Okay, so let's go to idea number three. When we talk about this dream, Barbara Nell says, one second. Every one of the avos has their moment in which God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is revealed to the avos. So the question is, says the Barbara Nell, why now? Why at this moment does Yaakov have this dream? This dream is a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, if you look at the psukim, the other avos, after their revelation from Hashem, what do? They build a mizbeach. Their goal was to proclaim the name of God. Everybody should walk through this town and say, that's where Avram met Hashem. That's where Yitzchak met Hashem. Yaakov cannot build a mizbeach because he doesn't have money. He gave it all away. He was robbed, so to speak, to make him appear dead so that he's considered like a mace. Like a dead person, and therefore, Esav's mission to kill him would, so to speak, be fulfilled. So Yaakov has this revelation of Hashem. Why now? Couldn't happen last week. Couldn't happen next week. Why specifically at this moment? And the Abarbanel suggests a profound idea. He says, to understand why the dream is happening, you need a little background. Last week, we read that Yaakov, at the behest of his mother, steals the brachos from Esav. And after reading the story, now here's the problem. We're very educated. We're very, very smart people. We've been around the block. We've been to shul. We've learned the Chumash. We learned the Torah. We know the Parsha sheets. We know the answer to the question. So we know when Yaakov steals the brachos, like, oh, he did it. He got it. And we're so happy. Well, let's put ourselves in not the bird's eye view of the story. We know Jewish history. We know how the parshios play out. We know that by the end, Yaakov will have 12 Shvatim. He'll start the nation of Israel and he'll be brought to burial in Israel. And it's great. Does Yaakov know all of this? Yaakov does not have the stone Chumash. Right? Yaakov isn't told, hey, if you turn to page 1272, you'll find out that it works out okay for you. So what does Yaakov begin to think? Suggest the Abar Benel that it's not that Yaakov left Israel because he wanted to travel. Yaakov leaves because he's on the run. Yaakov has no money. He's now out of the land of Israel being hunted by his brother. So you think that sounds like a great scenario? That's a great, Yaakov looks at himself and goes, you know what? I'm doing okay for myself. I have no money. I have really no family. And I'm not even in the land of Israel. I mean, things are going pretty well because I know the end of the story. Yaakov is nervous and he begins to have doubt. Maybe this was wrong. Maybe all of this is a fail, is an error, is a mistake, is not destiny. That everything that I just did and I stole the brachos and I did all of this, maybe it was wrong. Maybe it would belong to Esav and I stepped into something that I should not have. So essentially, let's go back to the bracha. The bracha that is given to Avraham, that is then bestowed to Yitzchak, that is then given to Yaakov is three parts. A promise of divekus, of closest with God, Zerah of children, and the land of Israel. But let's look at where Yaakov is after last week's parsha. He's on a close connection with God. In fact, some of the rabbis reflect God's displeasure that he's on the run. He has no family. He has no children, no friends. One could argue he didn't even have a brother. And does he have a land? He's out of the land of Israel. And at this moment, Yaakov begins to have self-doubt. Maybe I should not have stolen the brachos. Maybe I should not have listened to my mother. Maybe I should have let Esav take what was his. Maybe this is not God's will. Maybe this is really not a blessing, but a curse. So Yaakov doesn't just think he failed. He made a total, egregious error. Did I just take what was belonged to somebody else? Did I just alter the trajectory of Jewish history? What did I just do? And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Abar Benel, this is when Yaakov needs the dream. This is the reassurance to Yaakov within the pangs of his guilt and self-doubt that you were right. And says the Abar Benel, this, there are three things in this dream. The ladder connects Hashem to Yaakov. The Devekus Hashem, that connection, that feeling of being together with you, Hashem. How much more close can you get than a ladder that is literally connecting the Eretz and the Shemayim? The family that you don't yet have, V'haya zar'acha kafar aretz, you'll have plenty. Yama v'kedma tzafona v'negba, it will be plentiful. And the land, the ha'aretz asher atah shochev aleha, v'cho enana ulezarecha. It's no wonder that Yaakov wakes up trembling. Why does Yaakov wake up? Vayira vayomer manora hamakom hazeh. Happens to be that Rav Hirsch says manora hamakom hazeh because Yaakov didn't realize that I could find God wherever I am. But why does he wake up trembling, says the Abar Benel? Because it's just so powerful. I was nervous and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came in to give me a hug and to say, no, you're on the right path. You made the right decisions. The story with Yaakov is not just about the dream, but an issue. How do I deal with guilt? There are times when our guilt pushes us to rectify our ways, to admit our mistakes. It's tshuva. And there are times that our guilt is unwarranted because it's beyond our control. But what Yaakov is telling us that Yaakov was an ish tam, and he brazenly stole the brachos, and he's nervous. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, V'enochi imach, in the words of Rabbi Lamb, so long as you are aware of your inadequacies, you will overcome them. As long as you constantly, consciously strive to be an ish tam, you are, in my eyes, both innocent and lovable. Banish the guilt, get on with the business of making life more livable and man more true to the divine within him. That's Yaakov. And Yaakov is always struggling with this role. And we have to ask ourselves, are we struggling with this? Are we evaluating what you have with Yaakov? Is an evaluation of, am I doing the right thing? Am I on the right path? Am I trying? Am I reevaluating myself? Now, as we said in Parshas Bereishis, we know that when it comes to day two, it doesn't say V'hinei Tov. And when it comes to day six, V'tov Mo'od. So why not? Because this whole idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reevaluate the water, Hashem reevaluates. And only when you reevaluate, can you say, ah, I learned and I reviewed and now I'm getting better. And Tov Mo'od, from the sixth day of creation, God made a man that can do those things, that can look back, that can evaluate, that can look at failure and say, how do I get better? And this is the Abar Banel's amazing insight into the dream of Yaakov. That's Yaakov's self-doubt and his nervousness and Hashem's reassurance. So let me share one more idea about what happens when Yaakov wakes up. Vayikatz Yaakov mishana. So Yaakov gets up. God was in this place, I didn't know it. So first of all, as I mentioned, the Rav Hirsch says, it's not that like Rashi explains that Yaakov wakes up and realizes, oh my gosh, I just slept on Har HaMoriah. I just slept. This is the holiest place in the world. Right? I'm sorry, I slept away. How could I have slept on this holy place? That's not what Rav Hirsch says. No, Rav Hirsch says, I just slept in a random hotel. And that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was. I found God. God does not exist only in the home, in the Beis Medrash, and the Beis HaKnesses. God exists wherever I reach out to him. Whether I'm in the shul or whether I'm in the Beis HaMikdash, right? That was Hagar's mistake. Hagar left the house of Avram. She didn't realize that Hashem will follow you everywhere. It's not only to one place or to one person. So what does this mean? Va'anochi lo yodati. I didn't know. I remember one time a kid asked Rav Schechter, Shlita, on the NCS by Kolel, a question. So Rav Schechter said, I don't know. So the kid looks at Rav Schechter and says, with all due respect to Rebbe, what? Rav Schechter doesn't know something. So Rav Schechter said, you know what? There's two kinds of I don't know. I don't know, like I'd have to research it and then I could give you an answer. Or, I really don't know. So the kid said to Rav Schechter, no, which one is it? And Rav Schechter says, I don't know. So what does it mean? That va'anochi lo yodati. Rav Hirsch says, it means I didn't realize that I could find God in this place I just mentioned. The Rashbam says, he had no idea what this place was. He went to sleep thinking it was a regular old place, and he woke up recognizing the significance and its holiness. Rashi explains that Yaakov first went to Haran, and when he arrived there, he says, I passed through my father's David, so he goes back to Har HaMoriah. So which one is it? Did Yaakov have no idea about this place and only realize it afterwards? Or did he know about the Kedusha of this wonderful, special, unique, and distinct place in Jewish history? So says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, what does it mean, da'as? What does it mean, knowledge? V'anochi lo yodat. So he says, for example, a doctor knows what his patient is, what's going wrong. And the patient himself knows what he feels, but those are very different. Right? A social worker, a mental health professional can know what a patient feels, but it's not the same as what the patient's actually feeling. There's knowing what you should be feeling, and then there is feeling it itself. When it comes to relation with Hashem, the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Yesod HaYesodos V'Amod HaChachamos, the most basic of foundations, the pillar of wisdom, Leida Shiyesha Matsui Rishon, to know that there is God. What does it mean to know? Not just intellectually, but a deep connection. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein explains that when it comes to Yaakov, of course he knew this was the place. Like Rashi suggests, it was famous. It was a landmark. There was a museum at the place. You had to pay to get in. You had to wear the little headphones. You had to press the Salem Museum tour. They would tell you about what happened at this place. This is the Akedah, the most famous, most, you know, well-known event in Jewish history. You know, you've been to Israel. You've gone on those tours where they tell you, and it's very possible that Avraham, maybe in his journey, he might have stopped near this mountain. So what do? We take 100 pictures, and we get our pictures later. We have 1,000 pictures that all look the same. Everybody knew this was the holiest place in the world. And like the Rashbam, he didn't realize that it could have such an influence on him. That when he wakes up, it pains him that he had not been sufficiently open to celebrate that opportunity, that he missed it. Yaakov knew the place. He just didn't know how to connect it. So he knew it, but he didn't really know it. We have to go through our lives looking for opportunities. And to put all of this idea of Anochi lo yodati together, we can't go through our lives only hoping to be inspired when I'm learning Torah or when I'm at shul during Ni'ilah or Shabbos morning. We have to go through our lives looking for opportunities. We have to go through our lives saying, how can I be inspired today? And whatever place I may be in, I could be in the supermarket or in Jewel or in the shul or in a, am I open to it, to developing that connection with Hashem? So these are just four major ideas in the beginning of this week's parasha. One is the goal of dreaming, of constantly dreaming of the Lublina Rebbe, always to look, how can I grow? How can I stop every once a week just to have a little bit of dream, a little bit of aspirations? The idea of tefillah, that each of the avos connected differently to Hashem and had a unique relationship with Hashem. And that's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's morning, afternoon, and evening, different times of the day, the day changing, what that represents. Very bright, very abundant, very much thank you, Psukim Zimra, to nighttime of I'm scared and I need a Kadosh Baruch Hu's protection. We relate to Hashem differently. It's important that we understand in our lives that we can relate to Hashem differently. The notion that the Abarbanel suggests that Yaakov is feeling self-doubt and HaKadosh Baruch Hu reassures him. It shows us the intimate way that Hashem is involved in our lives, that the concern of a relationship with Hashem, children, and a land are all reassured in this bracha. And finally, that when we are open to these opportunities, we don't miss them. Yaakov almost feels like he missed that opportunity because he wasn't prepared for it. And to go through life looking for opportunities, looking to be inspired, looking to be more motivated to push ourselves, we ultimately will find more of those opportunities. I wish everybody a wonderful rest of your week.